الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فمرحبا بوسيلة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مرحبا بطلبة العلم مرحبا بأهل السنة والجماعة Welcome my noble brothers Welcome my noble brothers and sisters Welcome to the seminar and to Stone Mountain and to Masjid al-Tawheed. We are very delighted and happy to see you and to meet with you and to partake with you and to participate with you in studying and learning our religion. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of you your efforts, those who have come from near and those who have come from far. Indeed, traveling and leaving one's homeland in order to seek knowledge and to gain an understanding in the religion is from the way of the pious and the most virtuous of this ummah. And they would go through much hardship in order to learn their religion, in order to find the truth and to understand the correct creed and the correct belief and the correct methodology coupled with its proof, and to sit with those people who have benefited from the people of knowledge. So this is a beautiful way, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of you and to put His barakah and blessing in your time and in your efforts and in your intentions, and to grant us all success in this life and in the hereafter. The title of our discussion tonight is derived from a noble verse from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is His statement, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ And the garment of piety, this is better. And the garment of piety and righteousness, this is better and this is best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned and He calls out to the children of Adam, O children of Adam, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا Indeed, we have bestowed upon you garments and raiment and clothing. يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا As a means for you to cover your awrat, for you to cover your private parts, and to screen yourselves in a manner that is proper, and also as an adornment. وَرِيشًا يعني جَمَالًا And also as a means of adornment and beautification. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ But the garment and the beautification and the adornment and protection of piety, this is best and much better. This is best and much better. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He closes this verse in this manner and He says, These are from the signs of Allah in order for them to reflect and to ponder and to take admonition. To reflect and to ponder and to take admonition. So no doubt the libas and the clothing and the garments that mankind they wear, that the people they wear, this is a favor and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The garments and the clothing, from many aspects, from that the private parts are covered, and the faults and the defects of the human body are covered, and that which is shameful to appear is hidden and screened. And likewise, there are means of beautification and adornment, as well as a means of protection from the environment, so on and so forth. So the fact that Allah has created this clothing for us, this is a great blessing from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's an obligation to show thanks for that. And it's an obligation to show thanks for that. And likewise, an obligation to be cautious from everything that is in contradiction to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the garments and the clothing. With regards to the garments and the clothing and the beautification and the adornment. So a believer, he must have great care and concern to strive to learn the Islamic rulings and the legislation with regards to the covering of the private parts specifically for the male and for the female. And likewise with regards to the means of adornment and that which is permissible and that which is pleasing to Allah. And he will partake in that, drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will partake in that, drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His pleasure. And he will abide by that, and he believing that it's allowed for him. And he will partake in that and enjoy that because it's permissible. Because it's permissible. But likewise, he must have great concern to learn that which is impermissible as well. To learn that which is impermissible as well from the garments and from the clothing. And from the means of adornment and beautification. That which is impermissible specifically with the woman. That which is impermissible specifically with the male. With the man and the likes like this, in order to establish the religion, to be upright properly, and in order to abide by the legislation and the law of Allah and seek His reward and His mercy and to fear His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the most important affairs, to realize this issue and to know this, and to know the law and the limit with regards to that, and also to realize the relationship between these two affairs, the relationship between the outward garment and the inward garment. This is all indicated in this verse. But we ponder over the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He closes this issue after mentioning this affair. Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling on the children of Adam, mentioning a great favor and bounty and blessing that He has bestowed upon you, your garments. And the wisdom behind that, يُوَدِي سَوْآتِكُمْ, in order for you to screen yourself and to cover your private parts. And the private parts is something that is shameful for to be seen. And a person, if his privates become uncovered, and he has religion and deen in his heart, and the love of Allah, and shyness, and bashfulness, and chastity, it will bother him, and he will dislike that. It will bother him, and he will dislike that. And from this reason, it's called the سوءة. The awra is called the سوءة. لِأَنَّ كِشَافَهَا يَسُوءُ صَحِبَهَا. Because whenever it becomes uncovered, the person who his privates become seen and exposed, he does not like that, and it makes him feel bad and shameful. So therefore, it's called the سوءة. And this manner like this, but also from the wisdom of that libas that Allah has bestowed upon us and provided for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, rishan, as a means of beautification and adornment. As a means of beautification and adornment. And then after that, drawing the attention to the fact that the outward appearance is not sufficient. But rather, what is truly considered is that which is in the heart. Wa libasu taqwa, dhalika khayr. And the garments of piety and righteousness, sincere faith and humbleness before Allah, and love for Him and His law and His legislation, and love for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and preference for His sunan and His legal ways sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and application of that, and striving against one's soul to abide by that and to apply that and to comply to that truthfully, inwardly and outwardly, ذَلِكَ khayr. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ khayr. But then Allah, He mentioned about this libas and about this taqwa likewise, ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. These are from the signs of Allah. These are from the signs of Allah. And if we ponder over the affair of the clothing, we see that much of the clothing, it is made from cotton, or it is made from silk, or it is made from wool. And where does the cotton come from? The cotton is the plant that grows from a seed. The cotton is a plant that grows from the seed in the ground. Allah, He sends rain from the sky. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and no one can send rain from the sky except for Allah. And He causes those cotton seeds to split and the plants to grow. And then the cotton, it grows in that manner, and then it's taken and used. It's taken and used and manufactured until we have garments, until we have clothing, we have thobes, and we have blankets, and we have things to cover ourselves with, and to cover our shame with, and our privates with, and things to adorn ourselves with, and to beautify ourselves with, and things to take us protection from the heat, and likewise protection from the cold as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He referred to this in His book as well. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ سَرَابِيلَ تَقِيكُمْ الْحَرِّ. That Allah, He has made for you clothing and garments. That is a means for you to protect yourself from the heat. The people of not, as I mentioned, what is intended, likewise the cold. So this is from the bounty and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that only He has command of and authority. He sends the rain in that manner until the crops grow, and we take from that and we manufacture clothing. And likewise, the silk, it comes from a little worm, a small creature that one, He will not even see it sometimes whenever it's crawling. And from that, the most delicate and soft and comfortable clothing is made. And likewise, from the wool, which is very beneficial for the cold and the likes like this, this is coming from the fur and the hair of an animal. So to realize these affairs and to remember this issue, this is a favor from Allah and a bounty from Allah, that He has provided for us this creation and provided from that creation's clothing. Provided from that creation this clothing that we cover ourselves with, and that we beautify ourselves with, and that we protect ourselves with, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to take an admonition, in order to reflect and to remember that Allah azza wa jal, He's truly worthy of worship. The one who sends the rain from the sky in this manner and provides for the crops and the trees and provides for the animals and the likes that we benefit from, even that we get our clothing from and the likes like this, He is the one who's truly worthy of worship. And everything besides Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not worthy of worship. And anything that's worshipped besides Allah azza wa jal, then it is worshipped in falsehood. So these are from the great benefits of the likes of this verse. from the great benefits of the likes of this verse, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ, in order for them to take admonition, in order for them to remember the greatness of Allah and His bounty and favor upon them, in order for them to take an admonition and to go straight and to show thanks, and to avoid being ungrateful with regards to the likes of these blessings. Because a person, he can either show gratitude and be thankful with regards to these blessings, the blessing of the clothing and the garments specifically, the blessing of the means of adornment and beautification specifically, or he can be ungrateful. Or he can be ungrateful. So this blessing is a blessing from Allah. So it's incumbent to be thankful. It's incumbent to show gratitude. It's incumbent to learn the type of garments that are pleasing to Allah and allowed for us to partake in and to wear and to decorate ourselves with, and to use as a means of protection and the likes like this, and to likewise learn those type of garments that are not permissible, that are not allowed, that are not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then whenever we learn that knowledge, whatever we were upon before, we will leave that. Whatever we were upon before, we will leave that. Whatever the custom was, or whatever the culture was, or whatever the desires were, whenever the legislation of Allah is clarified and the ruling is clear, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is established, a person, he will leave that, even if it's the customs of his people. If his customs are in contradiction, if his customs and culture and his way of life is in contradiction with that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a true believer, his faith and his piety will call him away from that, and call him to repent from that and to leave that, and to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرُ وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرُ. So therefore, it's very important to be concerned with this affair and to realize and to know the issues that are in contradiction to the legislation with regards to the clothing. And to know likewise that the clothing, just as it can be a blessing, if it is not used properly, the clothing and the adornment, just as it is a blessing, if it is not used properly, then it can become a fitna. It can become a trial. And societies can become corrupted, and households can become corrupted, and people's religion can receive much deficiency and weakness in their faith because of the garments that they wear. And indeed, I have heard from our Shaykh Sulaiman al-Rahili, when he's discussing the issue of the hijab of the woman, that he swore by Allah one time. And I remember this, he swore by Allah Azza wa Jal that the woman who covers herself properly for the sake of Allah, and she covers her face for the sake of Allah, then she will have shyness and bashfulness will come to her heart. Shyness and bashfulness will come to her heart, and Allah will send happiness in her heart that she did not have before. Whenever she covers herself properly, believing in the law of Allah and His legislation, and she seeks the reward from Allah and covers herself in that manner, this is the reward from that. So there are certain type of garments, if a person he wears them properly with a good intention, it will be a means to cultivate in his heart piety and chastity. And it will be a sign of his strong faith in his deen, and his upright belief in his creed. And there are other type of garments likewise that can bring about arrogance and pride in the heart of a person. It can bring about weakness and deficiency in the love for whims and desires, and the preference for this worldly life. Whenever they wear them, this is what it will bring about, stripping them of the piety and taqwa. And there's a relationship between the two. And whenever the piety is strong, then the garments are upright and noble, and they're beautiful and beneficial. And whenever the piety and the faith is weak, then likewise the garments, they start to fall off. Then likewise the garments, they start to weaken, and a person, his privates become exposed. And the awra is a physical awra, and likewise it's a spiritual awra. So a person, he has this awra that's shameful to be seen, and likewise inside of him, he has another aspect that if it's not covered properly with sincere faith and true belief and iman and piety and righteousness, then it will become exposed likewise. And this is from the preference of sins and lusts and desires, and the lowly manners and conduct that will proceed from a person whenever his deen becomes weak. So there's a relationship between the two. There's a relationship between the two. So with regards to the fitna, fitnatul libas, the trials and the trials and the deception, and the kaid and the tricks of the devil with regards to the clothing, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. This is something that was from the beginning of the creation of Adam. The shaitan, he has been trying to deceive mankind specifically with regards to their garments. And from his major plots is to reveal their shame and to uncover their privates. And this is something that Allah, He has informed us in His book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. O children of Adam, do not let the devil, do not let shaitan deceive you, just as he has brought your mother and father out from the Jannah. يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا, that he had striving to strip from them their garments in order to reveal their private parts and to expose them. In order to reveal their private parts and to expose them. And then Allah, he mentioned about this enemy, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ, that indeed he sees you, him and his tribe, yani his forces, the devil, and his forces, they see you from where you do not see them. They see you from where you do not see them, meaning they whisper and they strive, and there's devils from the jinn and there's devils from mankind, and they call to evil and disobedience. They call to shirk and to leave the command of Allah and to contradict the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, beginning with piety and faith, beginning with deen and religion, and he called into shirk and to innovation and to misguidance, and also called into deviation and indecency. And indecency. And indecency comes and is spread through the society in a fast manner whenever the clothing and the conduct becomes indecent. Becomes indecent. So Shaitan, he's been in this manner, striving in this way to mislead the people. Striving in this way to mislead the people, and he, with regards to the clothing, with his intention. And this is what happened to our father and mother, to Adam and Hawa. Whenever they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what happened to them. Their privates became exposed. So this is a benefit that people of knowledge mentioned, that whenever Allah is angry with an individual and whenever He's not pleased with him, that a sign of that is that they will start to uncover themselves and expose their own private parts and to expose their own faults and their own issues that are shameful. Beginning with the physical private parts and likewise with those privates, meaning those lowly manners and those lowly conducts and behaviors and the likes like this. So this is from the avenue and the tricks and from the steps of Shaitan. And the devil, he does not call any to this affair directly. And his methodology is not any to come straight and forward many times, because he knows that this will not work. But rather he has steps. Rather he has steps that he will take with a person, little by little, until they will uncover something small. And then next thing you know, it's something major. He will move with them step by step. The devil, he has khutuwat. And he will mislead the people like this. And this is how he caused the people to fall into shirk and to fall into disbelief or to fall into innovation or to fall into sin and transgression and indecency little by little, step by step. So a believer has to be aware of these affairs and know the traps and the tricks of a shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about this likewise in his book. Ya yuhannas kulu mimma fil ardi hararan tayyiba wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. O mankind, eat from the earth that which is permissible and wholesome, that which is good and allowed, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Indeed, he is a clear enemy to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, he only orders you. He only orders you to evil and indecency and to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. So from the evil and the decency that the shaitan, he calls to, and that the devil, he entices the people to fall into, is to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the garments and the clothing, and with regards to the means of adornment and beautification. So this is from those traps and those tricks. It's very dangerous. In reality, it's very dangerous. A person, whenever he disobeys Allah, and this issue here is as if he is exposing himself directly. Exposing himself directly. Either exposing himself by revealing, literally revealing his private parts, or even if he covers his private parts entirely, but in a manner that's not lawful, in a manner that's not legislated, in a manner that's not allowed and permissible, then likewise he's exposing his religion and the weakness in his faith and his love for the ways of the disbelievers and the disobedience. I mean, this is what's in the heart, because what is on the outside is only there and portrayed in that manner because of the love and the like of that thing found in the heart of a person. So a person, if he likes somebody, he will imitate them, and he will look like them, and he will walk like them, and he will talk like them, and he will dress like them, if he loves them. So this is something that's very important, to not expose oneself in this manner, rather to protect oneself from that. To protect oneself from that, وَلِبَسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And from the ills and the foul affairs that come with regards to having garments that are impermissible, is that it will be a means for a person's supplication to be rejected. That it can be a means for a person's his supplication to be rejected. Meaning that a person, he will call on Allah the most generous. That a person, he will call on Allah the most kind, and Allah will not respond to them. And Allah, he is the most kind and generous. And he has the keys of the heaven and the earth and the dominion in his hand and authority. And he gives freely, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he will prohibit a person because of their sins, especially with regards to the issue of the libas and the clothing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to this in a hadith that's collected by Muslim. From the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and in the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhakara rajula yutiru safar ash'atha akbara yamuddu yadayhi ya rabbi ya rabbi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a man who's traveling on a long journey, and his hair is disheveled and his clothing is dusty and dirty, meaning he's in a state of hardship. He's in a state of difficulty while he's traveling. And a person in a state of difficulty and hardship, and whenever he's tired in this manner like this, many times his heart will be attached to Allah when he calls. He will call with truthfulness. He will call with sincerity. He will be honest in his call and hope for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, he's raising his hands, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, calling on Allah alone, Oh my Lord, Oh my Lord. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ. That his food is from haram, and that his drink is from haram, and his clothing, his libas, وَمَلْبَسُهُ يعني لِبَاسَهُ, that his clothing is from haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, and he's being sustained and nourished by that which is impermissible. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. So how would he ever be responded to, meaning in this situation and circumstance? So this is a reason for the supplication to be rejected. And we should not be deceived, or that there's something that's even more dangerous than this. That even a person, he could get to the extent that maybe his supplication will not be rejected. Rather, he will be responded to. And if he's doing this the whole while, his food is haram, and his drink is haram, and his clothing is haram, and Allah continues to give him that which he likes, the people of Najd, they have mentioned about this, that this is called al-istidraj. That at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no care for this individual, and he has left him for to his desires. And there's nothing left for him except his soul to be stripped from him while he's in a state of disobedience. But he's in a state of disobedience. So somebody should not think that, oh, well, my clothing is like this, or my hair is like this, or my garments are like that, and Allah answers my dua, and I have much from the dunya. Now, this is not a proof for a person. Rather, this is a dangerous affair. It could be a proof for a very bad situation for the likes of this person. So, yani, this is clear. That this is something that a believer, he must have care for, especially in these lands, especially in these days, especially in these times. And that a person, he will learn the law, he will learn what's allowed for him, what's permissible for him, and he'll partake in that and enjoy that. And there is a type of garments and beautification that is allowed. It's mubah. There's other types that's mustahabba, and it's recommended and preferred. There are other types that are haram and not permissible and not allowed. Even there's some that could be considered disliked. And the likes like this. So with regards to this affair, we must learn. Also, this is an indication of the perfection and the completion of al-Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created this creation and He mastered that. And likewise, He has legislated the law and He has mastered that. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, there's nothing in the human life except that there's a law to abide by and a way to follow, a sharia that leads to His pleasure. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a sharia, a path, a way, Sirat al-Mustaqim, that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect. And likewise, there are ways that contradict that and go against that, that lead to His anger and to the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to have concern with this affair and learning this affair diligently and abiding by that and applying that in public and in private, and also forcing that upon those who are under one's care and striving to establish that in one's home. This is from the greatest of affairs. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. So we see that this is from the fitna of the devil and the trials of a shaitan and the tricks and the snares and traps, yani, of the enemies of the Muslims, beginning with Iblis, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and likewise the disbelievers who have great plots and plans to mislead the Muslim Ummah. They're striving in this affair with regards to the male and the female, even more severe with regards to the female. And this is something we should be aware of, the plot of the disbelievers and the enemies of al-Islam against Islam, specifically with regards to the women, specifically with regards to the female, the Muslima. There's great trials that we're facing in these days, and many people, because of ignorance and lack of concern, they're in reality, they're aiding and supporting this affair. any from the Muslims, waliyadhu billah, aiding and supporting these ideas, and these are affairs that are in contradiction to the legislation and to the law of Allah, and that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ponder and we think about this issue here, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse again, He has mentioned the outward garment, and He has mentioned the wisdom from that. The outward garment is a blessing from Allah, and the wisdom from that is to cover the private parts first and foremost, and this is obligatory. And then likewise, on top of that as well, as a means of beautification. As a means of beautification. And the other verse that we mentioned likewise in Surah An-Ni'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also another wisdom from the garments, and that is to be a means of protection from the environment, from the heat and from the cold. So this is from the benefits. For the benefits and the good that comes about by garments. First and foremost, the person, his privates are guarded, and that which is shameful is screened. Alhamdulillah. And then also, above that as well, he is able to beautify himself and to adorn himself. And as well, his garments are a means of protection from the cold and from the heat and from the environment that he, yani, is facing and dealing with. So these are great benefits and blessings here. And a person, no doubt, if his private became seen or exposed or uncovered, he would be shameful. He would be shameful, especially, and if it's a number of people who were to see that. Waliyadhu billah. And also, whenever a person, he has on a nice garment, and a new garment, and the likes like that, and he looks handsome, and he is a means of beautification. A man, he comes with a nice white thobe, for example. It's new, and it's good, maybe tailor-made, for example. A nice garment. He will look nice, he will look handsome. He walked in the room, the brothers be like, MashaAllah, Allahumma barak alayka. And you're looking nice with this garment. So it's a means of beautification like this. And likewise, if a person is going outside, it will protect him from the heat, from the sun. It will protect him from the cold and from the environments. And the likes, when he sits down, he has a garment covering his body and his legs and so on and so forth. So this is a great benefit. But likewise, Allah, He mentioned the inner garment, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And there's a relationship there. And we mentioned before about the inner faults and defects, which is in the manners and the characteristics and the conduct of a person. And this is stemming from that, from the foul traits he has in his heart, the foul traits of arrogance or pride, the foul traits of enmity and animosity towards the righteous and the believers, the foul traits of thinking that one is better than somebody else and belittling others and the likes like this. These foul traits that can grow in that heart, waliyadhu billah, they will become exposed from a person in his statements and his deeds and his actions. The love of the dunya and the preference for this life, the love of the ways of the Christians and the Jews, waliyadhu billah, the love of the ways of the enemies of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these things can grow in the heart. Hypocrisy grows in the heart. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. And this becomes displayed in a person's conduct, in his manners, in his actions, in his speech, in his garments, in his clothing, in his style, in his walk, and the likes like this. So this is a means, yani, to protect a person from that, to cover him from that. Libasu taqwa, whenever the taqwa is strong, whenever the iman is strong, whenever the deen is upright, when a person is steadfast upon the law of Allah, abiding by the commandments, the best of his ability, and leaving off the prohibitions entirely, and seeking forgiveness for his shortcomings, this piety and this righteousness in his heart will cover those faults. And it'll be a means likewise on top of that of beautification and adornment for him. The religion is a means of beautification and adornment for a person. It has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bayna ana na'imun ra'aytu an-nas yu'raduna alayya wa alayhim qumus." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "One time I was sleeping and I seen the people, they're being presented to me and they have garments on. وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُوا أَثُدِي وَمِنْهَا مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Some of them, they have their garments that reach up to their chest, and others, they're lesser than that. And some said, some of the people of knowledge said, lesser than that, meaning up, meaning even more exposed. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ or more than that, yani lower. So the point is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, he seen these affairs. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seen the people like this. They're being presented to him, he's seeing mankind, and they all have garments on. And their garments are different levels. According to how high it is, will determine to how much that person is exposed. The one who his garment is up to his chest, akramukum Allah, imagine how the rest of his body is exposed, and the people are in this manner. Any of the people can see him, waliyadhu billah, waliyadhu billah. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثُمَّ عُرِضَ عَلَيَّ عُمَرُ. ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu wa alayhi khamisun yujurruhu. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he was presented to me. You know, I saw him. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and he has a garment and he's dragging it behind him. He has a garment and he's dragging it behind him. قَالُوا بِمَا أَوَّلْتَ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the companions radiyallahu anhum, they said, O Messenger of Allah, what did you interpret this to mean? What did you interpret this to mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said one word. Who knows? Ad-deen. Ad-deen. Ad-deen is at-taqwa. At-taqwa is one of those words that means the whole religion, ad-deen. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said ad-deen. What did you interpret that to mean? Ad-deen. So the garments are used to refer any as a parable to the religion, to the deen. So whenever the deen is strong, and whenever the piety is firmly rooted in the heart, and whenever the faith is upright and nourished and cultivated properly in a believer, and the heart of a believer, and the soul of a believer, it will be a means to beautify him and to adorn him. It will be a means to beautify him and to adorn him. It will cover him. It will cover his faults. It will cover his mistakes. Even a person of religion. Even a person who, any the majority of the time, he's upright. And nobody is pious in every aspect, in every situation. And everybody has deficiencies and shortcomings. But the one who is known for piety, he's known for honesty, he's known for deen, he's known for his religion and likes like this. This is what the people know from him. Even whenever he makes a mistake, the people will see that and overlook that. The people will see that and overlook that because it will be one mistake drowned out in the ocean of good that he has. It'll be one mistake or error that happens from time to time that's drowned out in the ocean of goodness that he has. So this is the case, and the benefit from piety, the benefit from righteousness, it covers the faults. And even if a fault were to be exposed and the likes like this, it is something that would be overlooked, it would be pardoned, and it would be forgiven, and it would be an easy affair for him. But as for if the piety becomes weakened, if the deen becomes weakened, then a person, his any manners become lowly and despicable accordingly. And along with that, he becomes exposed to the anger of Allah. Because likewise, with regards to the garments, from the benefit of that is protection. And likewise, with regards to the taqwa and to the religion, from the great benefits of that is protection. Protection from the anger of Allah. Protection from the anger of Allah. Protection from the punishment and the torment of the fire. Protection from humiliation in this life and the hereafter. This is what the religion will do for a person. It will beautify. It will cover his faults, and it will beautify him and adorn him, and he will be light, and he will be beneficial, and he will be known as upright and good, and the likes like this. And then likewise, he will have protection. He will have protection from the anger of Allah. He will have protection from the punishment of Allah. He will have protection from being humiliated in this life and in the hereafter. And because of his taqwa, because of his piety, because of his deen, because of his righteousness, because of him holding fast to the law of Allah, because of him holding fast and showing preference to the sunan of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in public and in private, inwardly and outwardly, we shouldn't pick and choose that which we follow and that which we abide by from the law of Allah. But rather we have been commanded to enter into Islam entirely. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan. Oh, you who believe, and oh, you who Allah has honored you with faith, and you believe in Him and His oneness, and that He is the only one who's worthy of worship. Oh, you who believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He's the sealed and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enter into Islam entirely. Enter into Islam in entirety. Yani in all aspects, in creed, first and foremost, in faith and belief, and likewise in action and deed, in manners and conduct and speech, in every aspect of life. The religion of Allah encompasses every aspect of the human life. Every aspect. Before he's born, there are laws related to him. Whenever he's in the womb of a woman, there's a diyah, and there's blood money for the one who transgresses the life of a fetus. The life of a fetus, there's great, great law and legislation and care and concern from Allah for his creation, and likewise for his creation from his legislation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to learn that. And likewise, until he's dead, until he's buried, he still has rights. A believer, he has rights. There's a law that must be abided by, and everything between there. Included in that is the clothing and the garments that one wears, and the means that he adorns himself and beautifies himself. The means that he adorns himself and beautifies himself. So again, from the benefit of the clothing is that it's a mean to cover the shame, to cover the awrah, to screen one's faults and defects in his body, and to cover the private part. And likewise, a means after that to beautify himself and to adorn himself.
And likewise, a means of protection. A means of protection from the heat and from the cold and from the environment around him. And similarly like that, the taqwa and the deen. It's a means to cover one's faults and mistakes and the defects that he has in his manners and his etiquette and inside of his soul. Blemishes in his soul. The soul that has blemishes, it has faults, it has errors. It has faults, it has errors. Sometimes a person, he'll come out of character and be rude. Sometimes he'll be harsh. And he's not supposed to. And the likes like this, this is all from defects in the manners. Defects inside of the soul. So with piety and righteousness and striving against the soul, these things can be refined. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. وَالَذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. And those who strive in our path to be obedient to Allah, He will guide them. He will guide them. So these faults, they will be covered. They will be removed by way of piety, by way of taqwa, by way of sincere faith. Al-Iman al-Sadiq. Al-Iman al-Sadiq. And that's based upon knowledge. That's based upon light. That's based upon revelation. That's based upon that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's confined to the understanding of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een, radiyallahu anhum jami'an, and the likes like this. Then a person, he will be able to cover his faults and likewise to adorn himself and to beautify himself. To adorn himself and to beautify himself. And also a means of protection from the anger of Allah and from the punishment in the hereafter and humiliation in this life and in the hereafter. And humiliation in this life and in the hereafter. From the beautiful examples of this is that which has been narrated by Abi Dawood and other than him, likewise from Ashab al-Sunan, from the Hadith Abi Darda radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this narration he mentioned, وَأَنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَارِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. That indeed the virtue of the person of knowledge over the devout servant, over the devout worshipper, is like the virtue of the moon on a full night. Yani on the virtue of the moon whenever it's full. Yani on the night of a full moon, compared to the rest of the stars. Compared to the rest of the stars. So the person of knowledge, he's the person of deen. The person of taqwa, the person of piety. Because deen is not based upon anything except knowledge. Deen with no knowledge is not even truly deen. It's misguidance and innovation. And this is the way that the Christians, they went astray. By innovating in the deen and making up affairs and having customs and cultures that they preferred over the law of Allah. Over the law of Allah. So the deen and the taqwa is based upon knowledge. It's based upon knowledge. And the one who has knowledge and he abides by that. And he commands his soul to be upright on that in public and in private. Wherever he goes, whoever he's with. Then now it will become a light for him. Now that knowledge will become a light for him. And this light will be like the light of a moon. Like the light of the moon. And whenever a person, he sees the full moon, he says, every time he sees it, maybe you see it every month, but every time it's like the first time he saw it. Like, subhanAllah, look how beautiful the moon is. Allahu Akbar, look at the moon in the sky. Whenever it's full like this, it's beautiful in itself. It's beautiful in itself. So the knowledge is a light, and the religion is a light, and the sincere faith and taqwa and piety is a light for a person. It beautifies him. It adorns him. It makes him beautiful. Whenever you see the full moon, you see nothing but beauty. It's nothing but beauty. Even it's an example that is drawn to refer to beauty. When you speak about something, someone who has a beautiful and handsome face, you say his face is like the moon. Rather, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his face was beautiful like the moon. And he meaning bright and full of delight and happiness and joy. And this is the case that comes by way of deen, by way of knowledge and application, by way of piety and taqwa. وَلِبَسْ وَتَقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. But here, the moon, on the full moon, the light of the full moon, not only does it beautify him, does it beautify the moon itself, but likewise it's a benefit for the rest of mankind. It's a means of benefit for the rest of mankind. Because the full moon, a person he's able to see, and the people they're able to see, and in the dark. It's even mentioned that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, one of his books, rahimahullah, كَتَبَهَا فِي اللَّيَالِي الْمُقْمِرَةِ الْمُقْمِرَةِ. He wrote in the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the night time, in the moon nights, whenever the moon is out. He's using the moonlight to write. That's the point. So the point is that whenever the moon is full, it's beautiful in itself, and likewise it's a means of light for others. It's a means of light for others. So this is the case likewise with the deen. This is the case likewise with the religion. The more knowledge a person has, the more understanding a person has, the more a person has care and concern to learn the law of Allah, the legislation of Allah, the legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the intention to apply that. with the intention to learn that, to apply that, believing that it's revelation from Allah. Believing that the one who abides by that will obtain the pleasure of Allah. Believing that the one who opposes that will earn the anger of Allah and the threat of Allah. Believing that it's the path that leads to the paradise and to the Jannah. The one who seeks knowledge in this manner, then he will have light. He will have light and he will be beautiful in himself. He will be handsome in himself and he will have benefit for others. And wherever he goes, he will bring benefit and no harm. No one would ever expect any harm coming from him. No one would ever expect for him to trick them or to deceive them or to misinterpret things for them in order to have a worldly gain. Not from this person here. Because of the light that he's carrying. Because of the manners that he's upon. Because of the deen that he has. He's known from that. It stops him. His religion moves him. His religion moves him literally. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ Allah, he mentioned about the righteous that their Lord guides them by way of faith. Meaning he will move a person to stand up at Fajr time. Whenever it's cold outside, it will move him to stand up and to go make wudu and to leave his house and go stand with the men in line, with the men in the ranks. It will carry him to do that. It will carry him to leave his job at Dhuhr time and Asr time, to stop working for a moment, to go take care of this obligation. His faith will carry him. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ And this life and in the hereafter. This life and in the hereafter. It will carry him likewise to stop at the limits. Somebody has a great opportunity to make a lot of money, $10,000 opportunity. All you got to do is sign on this line. Whenever you start looking at the contract, there's interest involved. A person, his faith, a person of light, a person of deen, a person of taqwa, his taqwa will stop him in his tracks. He's about to sign that, he's ready to go, and his heart is desiring this money. But whenever he sees it's not allowed and permissible, he will turn away from that. His religion will carry him to stop. His religion will guide him and be a means to protect him from falling into that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a narration in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَا كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مَثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ That no one went to paradise, the one who has an ant's weight of pride. No one went to paradise, and the one who has the ant's weight of pride in his heart. And this will be a means to prohibit him from entering paradise. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ أَمَنْ He said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ إِنَّ رَجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنَةً And the man said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily a person, and he likes that his garment would be nice. And that his shoes would be nice. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he responded here, clarifying that this is not yani what is intended. And not necessarily someone who has nice clothes, nice garments, yani he has an outward appearance that is good. This does not necessitate that he's arrogant. Does not necessitate that he's arrogant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, rather, he said, Inna Allah jameerun yuhibbul jamal. That verily Allah, he is the most beautiful. And he loves beauty. وَالْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ That arrogance and pride is only to reject the truth and to belittle the people. To reject the truth. Yani whenever the truth comes, somebody will not follow it, not believe it. He will not accept the advice and he will not take it. This is called kibr. And likewise, to belittle and to look down on others. This is called kibr. But we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned a beautiful statement about our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha jameerun yuhibbul jamal. That Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. The people of knowledge, they have spoken about this beautiful name of Allah, Al-Jameel. And they have mentioned that Al-Jameel, this is from the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, containing the most beautiful attribute of beautification. That Allah, He is the most beautiful. And in His essence, in His life. Allah, His life and His essence is beautiful, the most beautiful. No deficiency whatsoever. No weakness and no deficiency and no fault in His life, in His essence, in His that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely beautiful and perfect. And likewise, in all of his attributes are attributes of perfection and beauty. The attributes of perfection and beauty, no deficiency whatsoever in any of his attributes. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's the creator and the sustainer and the provider. And he does all of this in the most beautiful manner. And he is the most gracious and the most merciful and the most kind forgiver of sins and the one who pardons those who repent. And the likes like this in the most beautiful manner. In the most beautiful manner. He is the most beautiful and his actions are the most beautiful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, no deficiency whatsoever, no weakness whatsoever, no fault whatsoever from any aspect. And likewise, that which he legislates, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is beautiful. And this is the point that we have to realize, that the legislation of Allah, this is beauty. the legislation of Allah and that which He has allowed and that which He has prescribed and that which He has sent His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with His, this is beauty. This is true beauty. If a person, he wanted to adorn himself, then let him adorn himself with that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come with. And no matter what a person he thought, or how many people thought that, or how many societies were upon that, or how many likes they have on Facebook, those people were in contradiction to the law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inwardly or outwardly, or inwardly and outwardly, they are not beautiful, and that's not beauty whatsoever. Whether abiding by the Sunnah and the law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the beautiful way. Because Allah, He is the most beautiful, and He sent the most beautiful Prophet to be the seal and the last of all prophets, and His way and His law and His legislation is the most beautiful way, the most beneficial way, the best way with no deficiency whatsoever. The law of Allah is perfect. The legislation of Allah is perfect and it's beautiful. And whoever abides by it, he would have beauty. And just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rafa'a dhikra Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil alameen, just as Allah, He raised the mention of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the world, whoever abides by His Sunnah, His mention will be raised. Whoever abides by His Sunnah, he likewise will be beautiful. And likewise, his mention will be raised and he will be known as upright. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. So the point is now that the beauty lies in the law of Allah and abiding by the legislation of Allah. وَلِبَسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the garment of piety, sincere faith, and truthfulness and honesty and belief and creed. Honesty and truthfulness and belief and creed. This is better and this is beauty and this is best and this is the means for success in this life and in the hereafter. It's not sufficient to have the outward beauty. Even if a person outwardly, he complied to the command of Allah and he corrected himself outwardly and his manners, the way that he looks outwardly according to the law of Allah, it will not truly be beautiful until the inside is beautiful likewise. Some people, maybe they'll have a beautiful garment on, a beautiful thobe, or a beautiful abaya, and the likes like this, cut and beautiful according to the law of Allah and His legislation. Everything is proper, according to that which is allowed. And if you see him, you say, MashaAllah, looking like a person of deen, like a person of istiqamah, a person of salafiyah, for example, but whenever he speaks, he's foul. Whenever he speaks, he's lowly, and he's rude. And in transactions, he'll cheat you and get over on you. He'll deceive and he'll lie. Or he will, or worse than that, some of them, they'll even use the religion as a means, as a stepping stone to have status in the land. Waliyadha billah. This is not beauty. Beauty, it lies in the heart. Beauty, it lies in the heart. And whenever it is there, whenever it is there, the beauty on the outside will be displayed. It will be displayed. So it's not sufficient, no doubt. It's an obligation. And if these laws that we will learn, inshallah, any in the libas, in the zina, from the obligation of a beard and raising the pants and the likes like this, and the obligation of the woman covering herself, all of this is an outward appearance. And the one who does it properly, seeking the reward of Allah, believing in the law of Allah, and hoping for the promise of Allah, he has much good. But those people who do that, searching for another reward, or another status, or another means, or it's outwardly, they have been given success to apply it outwardly, but inwardly they still have animosity and hatred in their heart. They still have jealousy and envy in their heart. They still think that they're better than others, and they still belittle the people. They're still known for backbiting and the likes like this. This will not help them with Allah. Rather, it starts on the inside. It will grow, and it will be a means of beauty like this. It's not something you can buy or you can purchase. It's a blessing from Allah. So to obtain it, we have to seek it from Allah alone. In closing, we should know the reality of this taqwa and this iman and this piety in the heart is similar in another manner like the garments outwardly. And that is that after some time, the garments, they wear out. No matter how beautiful it is, no matter how strong it is, the best material, the best quality, after time and after being worn for some time, it wears out. It will wear out little by little. It will, like in the knees or in the elbows or in certain spots, it will start to wear out until it have little frays. And then it'll have little small frays and on the legs like this. And then if it's left, then it will start to tear. And then eventually it will rip and it will not be beneficial whatsoever anymore. And a person who has a garment like this, and it starts little by little. And it will fray and it will tear. And then if he's not careful, then maybe he's going to be exposed. Maybe it will tear and some of his any shameful parts will be exposed. Or maybe whenever the heat comes or the cold comes, it will penetrate any of the tears. And he will not be able to benefit from his garment like he used to. And it could come to the extent that the garment is not it's not beneficial, whether it's useless because of how much it has worn out. So likewise, the faith in the heart of a believer, it can wear out. It can wear out, especially any of those of us who go out and face society daily and go dealing with the people and moving through the lands and going into offices or going into work and dealing with the people and the likes like this. Any of the disbelievers specifically. And this can affect the heart, what we look at, what we hear. And the way we move, and the way we get our money, and the way we raise ourselves, or we nurture ourselves, and the lives like this, with food and drink and clothing, our wealth is important, and it can weaken the faith, and the faith can become weak, and it happens in this manner likewise, little by little, and if a person, he's not cautious, he's not careful, he can go away. What do you have to be learned? And at this time, he will be exposed again. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to this. Yani an authentic narration collected by Al-Hakim fi Mustadrakihi, and also by Tabarani fi Mu'jamihi, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna al-imana la yakhlaqu fi jawfi ahadikum kama yakhlaqu thawb. Inna al-imana la yakhlaqu fi jawfi ahadikum kama yakhlaqu thawb. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily the faith, indeed the iman, it wears out in the hearts of one of you the way your garment wears out. The way the garment wears out, little by little. Little by little. The weakness comes little by little. Until eventually it's gone. Until eventually it's gone. The same way. So therefore, ask Allah to revive the faith in your hearts. So a believer, he has to have a strong relationship with Allah. And this begins by learning the proper creed and the proper tawheed, the proper faith and the proper deen, yani what is incumbent to believe with regards to the rights of Allah and His tawheed, to know Him by His names and His attributes, and to know Him from His signs and His creation, and from the signs in His book and His legislation, and to know Him by complying to His law and worshipping Him sincerely with love and humbleness and humility, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, and then likewise, yani to beg him for the faith. And from the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say the most, the likes of this, ya muqallib al qulub thabbi qalbi ala dinik, like this, and he would ask for firmness in the religion, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as'aluka thabata fil amr, supplications like this. So to call on Allah, allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha, many narrations of hadith and supplications like this, showing concern for the religion and calling on Allah for that, for the purity of the intention and the soul, and the strong and firm religion and deen, and to be upright, yani at all times. This is something one he will call Allah and ask Him for. And likewise, to have care and concern for the salah. Care and concern for the salah. And this is from the greatest means to revive the faith and to renew the faith. The one who prays properly 5 times a day. Before that, he even establishes the sunan. And after that, he establishes the adhkar. And in addition to that, he will make the adhkar in the morning and in the evening. In addition to that, he'll make the adhkar wherever he's coming and going. And likewise, the adhkar before he's sleeping and when he wakes up. All of this is from the greatest means to have tajdeed al-iman, to revive the faith. To say these adhkar, knowing what they mean, understanding what they mean and what they indicate, and saying them while the heart is alive and aware, and applying them and like this, and trying to abide by them and work by them and live by them and to apply them in one's life. This is from the greatest means, yani to revive the faith. So the garment of taqwa, this is best. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the seminar beneficial for us and for all of you and our families and those who listen, and to give us a good life in this life and a good ending. Innahu jawadun kareem. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.